This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
All right, one of the things I need to say right up front, usually when I talk about tech things, I'm not wearing a suit. I'm usually wearing khaki pants and a blue shirt, so it feels a little different to be talking about in a suit, but be that as may. And also a little different talking about it and not being able to show it, but that's my fault. What I thought we would do is we would just go through some technologies that have come out that people may not be familiar with. They might have kind of heard about it, kind of wondering what it is. So what I'm going to kind of give you just a short overview. Was hoping to show it, but we'll just talk about it, I guess, instead. And maybe in one case, in the case of Skype, we'll show it to you. What I'd like to do is tell you about it and make you aware. So when you go back to the office, you can say, hey, I can start doing this. I can start using this. One of the things that has recently, not super recently, but is Microsoft OneDrive. How many of you use OneDrive, have heard of it, know what it is? Just a little, at least a little bit. All right. How do you use it? Tell me how you currently use it, OneDrive.
I have all my files on there, and wherever I like to download them to my desktop, laptop, or phone.
Yep. So it keeps it, all your files, all doesn't matter what device, and Raymond has the nicest of each device, Windows Phone,
move on.
And it syncs. What else, others that are using OneDrive, and how are you using it? Help me out with your name.
Rodney,
yes.
I use it to sort of as a backup, a cloud backup, to protect my files, number one. Number two, it's easy to share with other people if they have OneDrive. Mm-hmm. And then third is I like their online versions of the Office applications.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it's easy to edit and
so what you could really think, OneDrive is an excellent tool. There's other ones. Hans likes, and I keep saying, every time I say it's wrong, Dropbox. He likes, there's alternatives. This OneDrive is Microsoft's version of cloud storage, personal cloud storage. The interesting thing about OneDrive is that it's integrated directly into Windows 8 and Windows 10 and all the new versions of Windows, probably even Windows 7. I forget about that as soon as I can, the old stuff. But it's integrated right in. So when you get a Windows 8 or Windows 10 computer and you store things, depends what you clicked and checked, it's probably already storing it in the cloud. And what's really nice is you can just walk up to a computer and get access to those files. Or you can get it on your PC. So you go OneDrive.com and you can get your files. And Rodney pointed out another thing. So the storage is very nice. It's integrated. It also, another thing OneDrive can do is integrate your settings between computers. So your start menu, so kind of making, wherever you log into your computer, does Dropbox do that kind of thing? Okay, so there's some differences between Dropbox, OneDrive. OneDrive is a little more integrated with the operating system. It lets you, if you have a start menu, and you can just say on, and now that start menu will go to all your different computers. Your shortcuts, there's a list of things. I was going to show it, but there's a list of things. You can easily check that out. And then Rodney pointed out another thing that I think is a really high-value item of OneDrive combined with Microsoft Office Online. How many of you are familiar that there is a free version of Microsoft Office on the web? How many? So there's four of you. So sometimes you hear people saying, well, somebody sent me a Word document, but I don't have Word, I can't open it. Well, the fact of the matter is everyone can open Word documents because everyone has a free copy of Microsoft Office. So when you log on to, if you get onto OneDrive, you can create a Word document and you have Microsoft Office as a web application. And the interesting thing about Microsoft Office Online is it's very nearly exactly the same thing as you used to pay several hundred dollars to have installed on your PC. Very powerful. And the other nice thing about, and it's entirely free, so you have Even if you can't see it, I'll take a look at it. So you have Excel, a nearly full version of Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, Word, and they're nearly full versions of Microsoft Office.
No publisher?
No publisher. Yeah, no publisher at the moment. So, and the other nice thing about this this Microsoft Office Online is that you can collaborate. So if you have and it works with Office installed as well, but it's really interesting to see it work. So for example, you have an Excel spreadsheet and you want three people around the world to edit this thing simultaneously. You can log into it, be working on Excel. It looks just like Microsoft Excel that you have on your desktop, and you can just invite another user. And you know, inviting other users, you know, if someone has a log on, you know, that's kind of normal. But what you can do is you can also invite them even if they have no log on. So instead of sending an Excel file to three different people and saying, hey, look at this, make any changes you want and send them back to me, you can go into Word Online, create a document, send it to everyone, and let them edit it real time. So you have three people. You don't have to, you know, have these, now which version is the latest version? You're emailing it around and it kind of gets, everyone just edits it, right? And the interesting thing is you can see other people editing it live. I was hoping to show that, but it's kind of like you're in Excel and you're editing one and then someone else will start editing and you'll see their name and them editing it. It's almost real time. So you not only do you not lose which is the latest copy, they are all edited at the same. And if you want to use this, it's very easy. Just go to OneDrive.com and then left click in the left upper corner and you'll get a menu that looks very much like the Windows 8 start menu. How many of you are familiar with the Windows 8 start menu? How many of you didn't like it? Might as well just encourage the hate. Well, that's getting fixed in Windows 10, but be that as it may. So you log into OneDrive, you go into the upper left-hand corner, you click on the menu, and what you see is kind of a start menu. And really, what that a good way to think of OneDrive and Microsoft Office Online is a Windows in the cloud. It's sort of like Windows Online. And the thing is, I could walk up to Hans's computer, log in, and I would have all my files and a lot of my apps. The apps that I use the most, of course, is Microsoft Office. And maybe that'd be a good question to ask. How many of you are primarily Microsoft Office users? Oh, very strong. That is really interesting. Microsoft giving away licenses to 501c3s apparently is working. Maybe not. Thank you. Thank you very much. How many also... How's that?
How much of this is applicable to Mac?
You can log on. It's exactly because it's a web application. It works with Mac as well. Yes. Yeah. I ask who uses Office. Who uses something else significantly? What is it?
Open Office. Some.
Oh, you do use Open Office. Okay.
Or variants of it.
Okay. Microsoft's Office Online is kind of to get you. Have you compared the two? Do you have any?
I use both, actually.
You actually use them both. So you use online and?
No, I
use the actual live one.
Actual installed Office.
Okay, so.
Depends on if I'm using Linux or Windows.
Okay, so if you're using Linux, you can use Office Online.
Right.
What is your experience using Office Online with?
I actually haven't.
Haven't too? Okay, yeah. It should work fine. It should work perfectly fine along with Mac. Yeah, one of the things Microsoft, and now I sound like I'm a micro, you know, just I'm. Our company specializes in Microsoft products. I won't make any bones about that, but I'm trying to bring in the other sides as well. Microsoft is, at one time people thought Microsoft and Windows, I'm bringing up your question. Microsoft and Windows are really tied together. That is breaking apart. And Microsoft is more saying we want our things to run on everything. And much more of a mentality, it has to work on iPhone, it has to work on iPad, it has to work on everything. You notice they actually introduced free Office for iPad, that kind of thing. So OneDrive is, OneDrive with Microsoft Office Online is a way, if you have a home user that wants Office but can't afford it, use Office Online. So if you want to know what are the limitations, Mac should work fine, Linux should work fine, it should run pretty much on everything. What are some of the limits of OneDrive and Microsoft Office Online? Well, one is you have to have web access. How many of you would that be a stopper? So you don't have.
Yeah. Oh, I get into countries and places where there is not even cell phone access.
So that is one limitation. There are some other Office limitations, but they're usually so advanced that most people don't use them. How many here use Visual VBA to automate Excel? Is that what you use it for?
Access mostly, actually.
Microsoft Access. Okay, you're an Access guy. I used to do Access all the time. Okay. So that's one thing that is not in Microsoft Office Online. But any home user that has internet access, they have Office. All you need to do is go OneDrive.com and get yourself an account. It's free. I'd say go do it. It's very valuable.
So if do you have to, you're typing up a document, are you, let's say your speed is struggling, is that going to make it jerky and all that stuff?
The internet access, it's pretty, a lot of the processing is going on local, so it's pretty decent. It's pretty decent. When you say slow internet, what are you talking? Just terrible internet.
I mean, sometimes it's in and out, sometimes. But let me ask another question. Like, I use Microsoft, I've been trying to recently deal with this, so I use Microsoft Word, to fill out of my sermons, what have you.
Yeah.
And, well, or if I'm, with secretary of different stuff, so I'm getting it, like you talked about, letting other people look at it, edit it.
Yeah.
Well,
You doing that with a login, or are you just sending them a link and just saying, edit this link?
Yes, and
not so secure.
Right.
But then
I send to some people, man, they send back these fancy things that, have these edit things on the side and all that.
Yeah.
Why don't I have this free version that doesn't have a lot of this stuff? I keep asking, do I have to just go ahead and buy it?
Just use Office Online. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of those editing markup. A lot of it. Does anybody else use Word real heavy with the markup? He's talking about the markup where someone edits it and you can see them and then you can accept it. Okay, some of you do. Actually, the online version, what version of Office do you have? Do you have the basic? I take a look at Office Online. It's free. And actually, I find myself using Office Online instead of the installed version. Because I go to a computer I don't have Office on this computer. I just log into OneDrive and use Office. And my files are all there because they're already on OneDrive. So if I go to an internet cafe in Thailand when I'm with Raymond, even if I don't have my computer or I lost my plug, you can get on and do work. I find myself amazing, even at the office, using Microsoft Office Online. So it's another way of working, but it can be very productive. It's the experience is almost identical. What do you think that the people that are using Office Online, it's almost identical to having Office installed. But yeah.
So is it hard to, so now I have everything in that and on Dropbox. So let's say I swap to OneDrive, so like I have all my sermons on Dropbox. Is there some way I go paste OneDrive?
That's a great question for Hans. But really, OneDrive, if you have Office Windows 8 or 10, OneDrive documents can be like a folder on your local computer. It's just like they're on the local computer. So it's so integrated that your OneDrive documents are just another folder on your local computer. So you just put files in there just like it's, and it just puts it up to the web. He's used to doing that.
Even for Windows 7 and such, you can install
an application.
On your computer, just like Dropbox, and then you could copy your sermons right out of your Dropbox folder, drop them right into your OneDrive, and it'll sync up to OneDrive.
Yeah. So there you go. It shouldn't be that hard. Do you put your sermons in Word?
Yeah.
Do you use Word? So another application that I like to point people to that aren't familiar with it, is OneNote. How many of you use Microsoft OneNote? Okay, there's 25-30%. And anybody that doesn't use OneNote, what do you use? Do you use something else as an alternative? Word, people use Word?
Evernote.
Hans uses Evernote. Anybody else use it? Okay, we have a couple Evernote users.
Both, actually.
Both, OneNote and?
Android type, kind of syncs up with your Gmail account.
Okay, yeah. So OneNote or Evernote, for example, they're note-taking application. I actually use it for sermons. And the reason I like that is it's I can search them all inside this OneNote. It's a way of doing it. They're just all your sermons in little tabs. You can just click on them. You can search them all simply, quickly at one time. So I can try to find that one that I, and of course you can go in your folders and search that way. The nice thing about OneNote is it can also do things like, are you ever doing a sermon or taking notes somewhere and you have this picture of a document and you would like that text to be in your sermon? Well, OneNote, I'm sure Evernote can do this too. You have that picture, you paste it into your document, you right-click and say, grab the text out of it. And now you have that quote, not as a photo that you photocopied, but you have it as the text in your OneNote. Evernote?
Yeah. I was just going to ask, does OneNote serve as a comprehensive filing system the way that Evernote can?
Yeah.
I know with Evernote, like, you tag stuff, you put it in folders, and I use it a lot to just like take pictures of something. I'll take a photo of something, and then I'll write a few tags so I can find it again. And then I have record of it forever. Like just the other day, I had to send a FedEx envelope. And so I took a picture of the envelope so I had the tracking number, stuck it into Evernote, and I'll have it in case I ever need it.
Yeah. So OneNote, Evernote, they often have a little clipping tool that just injects it right into your notes. So, if I'm sitting in a session and I'm taking notes and then I see someone has something on the screen that I want in my notes too, I take a picture, boom, it's inserted right in my notes. So it's a kind of note-taking tool, and that's where it kind of, with sermons and talks, it can be, it's an interesting thing to look at. Included free with Office, the web apps. There is one of those included. All right. So any more questions about OneDrive or Microsoft Office Online? They're kind of related. The combination of them is really like Windows on the web. A complete computer, even if you don't have a computer, you just walk up to it and you have your Windows and you can get going. And even if you have Mac or Linux.
What's the level of security with the documents on the web and the cloud for that Microsoft specifically?
Yeah, okay, so you have, I talked about sending a link where someone else doesn't have a login and they can just edit it. No login. So someone never heard of Microsoft Office Online, you can just send them a link, and only the person that has the link can edit it. But you can also do it the other way around, where you say just these three other OneDrive users can access it. Does that answer your question?
I would say in general, cloud storage is going to be more secure than having a file on your hard drive. The most likely path of compromise for your files is going to be through your computer, through some sort of virus, through some sort of unauthorized access. Both can be hacked. Theoretically, it happens, but it happens far more often that stuff gets compromised from the desktop side than from the server side.
Yeah, that's very true. I just had a story about exactly that, but yeah, I won't need to go into that. All right, any other questions about OneDrive or Microsoft Office Online? Thank you. Okay, so one other one that is, it's Microsoft Office Online, but it's slightly different usage of Microsoft Excel, and that is Microsoft Excel Surveys. So those of you that use Microsoft Office Online, have you used Microsoft Office Online Surveys? Is there anyone that has, did I say, it's the Excel Survey, sorry. Okay, well then I'll explain.
I've used something similar. We don't do surveys very often, but with Google Drive has a survey.
Yes. Yes.
Is it similar?
Yes. Very. It's related to that. Yep. So, what happens is an organization or even a person has wants to get feedback from anybody. So you just want to say, I want to get feedback, and it'd be kind of neat if it was just in an Excel spreadsheet. So for example, and I'm going to say from a business, but you can just apply this to your ministry. So in a business, we had a new product, and people started emailing us. And wait a minute, I have to reply to every one of these emails. I immediately turned around and said, we have a just go fill this form out. So I made it just took me 3 minutes using Office Online Excel survey. You just go in, you say, I want a name, I want an address, and in that case, we were wondering how many users they had, and any other, you just type it in, really, to make one of these surveys, and same in Google, it's very related, same as Google. It takes 5 or 10 minutes to make one of these surveys, and now you can post it on your website, your blog, whatever you're using, and people can fill this out, and what it's doing is just filling out an Excel spreadsheet for you. I know I had one, and we did a social media campaign, and we just started getting hammered with requests. It was really impromptu. I didn't have time to call up a SharePoint or my web developer and say, hey, why don't we make this new form that does all this stuff? We had to kind of take care of it right away. So we did in 3 minutes. It seems too easy, but in 3 minutes we had this little, and I think 2 days later we had 500 signups. So it lets you be really flexible and really respond quickly to high demand. And some people might say, well, it's kind of, you get this screen and it looks a little, at the bottom it says an Excel survey, but you can customize it, put exactly the fields you want to collect. And it really, I would like to demo it. It takes 3 minutes to do it. It's just so simple. And when they're done, all the results are in an Excel spreadsheet. You can do anything that you can do in a normal spreadsheet. So it could take the place. How many here do have a large email list that people can sign up and you send a newsletter out to this email? Okay, I know Raymond does because kind of talking about this. And Rodney, you, how big is your list, for example? Just roughly.
A couple thousand.
Oh, it's a couple thousand. Okay, in that case, you have to. So, and we have 3, 4, 5 that have an email list that they manage. This seems like it would be an email list management, but I would not use it. There's other much better tools. You're using iContact, am I thinking? And then there's some other free tools like MailChimp. That's another one that's a really... What do you use, Rodney, to manage your email list?
Google Groups,
okay. Works good for you? There you go. That's another tool you could use. I would see the Excel surveys more to collect information that is not an email list that you're going to email back. There's other better tools. If you're trying to build an email list that you want to update people with regular, I would use iContact or MailChimp or the Google Groups. I'm not familiar with Google Groups. Hans, do you have something that you use?
No, not really.
Okay.
I use Google Groups for the few small lists that I manage.
Okay.
And, if it was a more ministry environment, I'd probably look into MailChimp or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, we have used iContact and MailChimp. But these are tools that you can use if you have an organization and you're telling people, we have an email newsletter, and if you want it, scribble this on a piece of paper and we'll put you in our list, and then we'll email you regularly. You probably want to use a tool, something like MailChimp, iContact, that's a paid one, there might be a free version of it, or this Google. I'm not familiar with the Google, but I'm sure it works as well. So the only reason I'm bringing up these email list management tools is because it's slightly related to the Excel survey, but different. You know, use Excel survey to collect information that's not necessarily an email list that you want to regularly email. If you want to collect emails that you want to send a regular newsletter, I would use MailChimp or iContact, or there's a bunch of them, or Google Groups, you're saying.
With the Google Group, I don't think it's quite as automated as some of the others, but we like that check and balance so that we don't have the people in the countries we're working with signing up to get our newsletter without our knowledge.
Okay, so you have
so
a little
we
more.
We like that little bit more of a manual process, where I know MailChimp's a lot more robust and can do it a lot more automation.
Yeah, I'm I'm really, I don't try to avoid Google, but I'm not familiar. And MailChimp is not Microsoft, so there you go. A plug for something that's not Microsoft.
Neither is iContact.
Yes, you're right.
Google Groups is really, it's a great solution for smaller stuff.
When you
free,
say smaller, tell me.
Well, I mean, I'm talking, you know, a few hundred thousand,
yeah.
Something like that. I think you'll want more features, especially rich text, building nice newsletters and so forth, and get much bigger than that. But like the general director said, it's very it can be very manual. You can add people manually. It's hard. Automated signups are hard. I struggle. Like I've posted links to let people sign up, and a lot of people have struggled how to figure out how to sign up. But it was never a problem for me, but I did run into that.
The people can't get it done.
If I was doing something more formalized, the biggest list I'm managing right now is just a free deals email list, and so I don't really feel obligated. And so, but if it was something to where I was trying to connect with people, I would go with something else, because the sign-up troubles, if nothing else. But if you're doing manual sign-ups, that's great. You can mm-hmm. There's a bulk add tool. You can add up to 20 people.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So, and with MailChimp, yours probably as well. I know with MailChimp you can do something like we've done this already. That case where we had the huge demand of several hundred users in a day or so, or in a couple days, what we did then is copied that and pasted it into MailChimp because we were trying to really respond quick and make sure no one gets dropped. And now another thing that in our case, a lot of our users are kind of technically savvy. You know, we're dealing with IT managers, and so they can figure the stuff out. But you're right. The nice thing about something like the Google Forms or the Excel survey, it's really simple. You fill the form out and click submit. And it's done. There's no email coming back to you and say, hey, make sure you verify that you're who you said you are. And so it is simpler. So the reason I'm saying Excel survey and these, because they are related, it's a decision. It is a decision. All right. Any more that you want to say about collecting information or mail list tools? Questions or all right. If not, then I'd like to move on to communication. And I'm in this case, because we're pretty involved in, I'm gonna talk about the consumer and kind of the business version of it. And how many of you use Skype on a regular basis? So Hans, who else? Did I see anybody else Skype? I said regular. Let's say you just any at all. Okay, sometimes. Yep, okay. Yeah, we take care of you Mac-wise there. I think we do. How many Mac people are there? I'm curious now. Okay, there's a couple. Perfectly fine, yeah. So there's some new things coming with Skype. And I'm going to talk about the consumer thing first, and then we'll talk about the more enterprise-y corporate thing. But Skype is coming out with, if you're an international, they're coming out with real-time translation. So, you know, before this you could video to someone on the other side of the globe, which often is what Skype was used for, because it's free, you can get. Well, now not only can you do that, but you can call, very shortly, Microsoft has the preview out, which I have on this computer. And what it lets you do is call someone that doesn't speak a language you speak. And you talk to them in your language, and they talk in their language, and it translates it real time. It's almost like, I don't know if you've ever heard, like, it reminds me of the United Nations. You know, they talk, and then it says just shortly after, and it says it in English. And so I'm going to do a demo here, and I was hoping it would be on a bigger screen, but my problem in not bringing it. So I'm going to do that. Another thing that's interesting about it is it also will transcribe. So since it can do English to Spanish, there we go. Since it can do English to Spanish, it surely can do English to English, right? So it can, so think about in the future. Now currently there's corporate email systems that'll, like, you let a voicemail and it transcribes it to the, you know. But what this is doing is it's not doing it like after the fact. It's doing it while you talk. So we'll do it here. And maybe what I'll do, this is not that big of a group. Maybe I'll just flip this around. I'm going to, and just show you here.
Landis Computer 100 is requesting an automatically translated call that may be recorded and used to improve Microsoft's translation and speech recognition services. Please disconnect now if you do not want your conversation to be recorded.
All right, Japheth. Are you there?
I am. Should I try calling you instead? I think that always worked best.
It's actually working pretty good.
Okay. Can't see it on my side, but that's fine.
Okay, and we're just doing English translation here. I mean, English transcription. So, Japheth, what I did is I forgot to bring my dongle, so we're on my little surface here. Almost
okay.
The worst case scenario.
Okay.
So what I'm doing is I'm just showing them the screen here. Now, I know it's too small for you to see, but what it's doing over here is real time, it's transcribing what we're saying. And if you want to take a look at it afterward, it's very accurate. All right, should we try a Spanish, and I'll try my terrible
sure.
Spanish. Okay, so sure. I'll hang up, and then I'll let you call me as soon as I get it switched
yeah.
to Spanish.
Okay, I'll call you in a couple
okay.
seconds here.
Yeah. Okay, so on the side here where the IM, the instant message window, it's transcribing. If you would read it, it's almost perfect. It's really, really good. And if it's gonna do English to Spanish, then it has to get English really good. So we're gonna try this. And I just know Buenos Dias and a couple things. So if there's anyone who knows Spanish, step up. Okay, so speaks because.
Japheth Nouth está solicitando una llamada traducida automáticamente que puede ser grabada y utilizada para mejorar los servicios de traducción y de reconocimiento de voz de Microsoft. Por favor, desconecte ahora si no desea que su conversación sea grabada.
Pues buenos días. ¿Con quién
well,
hablo?
Well, it can be.
I'm doing fine, how are you?
With whom, or what?
¿Usted habla español?
Estoy bien, ¿cómo estás?
Expectable.
Good.
Excelente.
How's
it? ¿Qué está haciendo?
¿Cómo es?
Excellent, she's doing.
How's the seminar for you?
Está haciendo bien.
¿Cómo es el seminario para usted?
This is where we are.
Now you have to remember that you don't understand English either, so you have to wait to speak until after I talk.
Okay.
And it translates it.
Bye.
Ahora
or
hay
what?
Que recordar que usted no entiende inglés.
He's going.
Así que tienes que esperar para hablar hasta después de hablar.
Bueno, ya terminó.
Y traductor.
Well, it's over.
Okay.
Is that...
Bien.
Okay, okay.
That's
I
the one.
I interrupted and it didn't work, but
yeah.
then it got my last thing.
Yeah. All right, so that, I mean...
Because here I went to the plate.
Okay,
the mayor
David.
That Becca suck. Already. Now.
All right, so you get the idea. And one of the things you have to remember, there's a couple of things here. We're in a big room. We're using a speaker here. But it can get it pretty good, amazingly good. And another thing is you can actually interrupt it, especially when it's hard for me to test the Spanish because I don't know Spanish real good, and everything I say is all stilted and weird. But in English, you can interrupt the other fellow. So you can both be talking over topics. It transcribes it perfect in real time. So it's just an interesting... You know, I don't know where this applies. Does it apply to when you have, I know some people say, you know, if we have a board, you know, we want a Spanish board so they can talk. You know, maybe this helps. You know, I don't, you know, it's an option. And it brings up possibilities. You know, transcription live, you know, what can it do? You know, in the past, so think about it. Currently, phone systems, they record voicemail, but what if it could record all the conversations? You could search for all the conversations you had today. And what if it put it in OneNote? So now you can look at your log for the day based on who you talked to on the phone. So some things that could come.
Let's create a scenario.
Yes.
Let's say I'm having a conference. You've been along.
Yes.
And I would speak
English. Exactly.
I would speak in English, and then it would translate through the sound system into the India, or Nepali.
Yeah. Interesting possibilities.
Okay, we're not there yet.
Yeah. This is even previous. So remember, this software is just, people are testing it. Do you have a copy of it? I actually didn't get a copy right away myself. So, and the other thing that is along with this is it does about 60 languages text. So that's nothing. It can. And what you do, the way it works, is you just go to the contact and say, this fella, Japheth, my colleague at work, he speaks from Romanian. So, of course, with Japheth, and that works perfect. But when you're doing the IM, it just works, and it has, I don't know, 60 languages. I don't know what it is, but. So it brings interesting possibilities, say it that way. And currently this is consumer. All this is kind of cutting edge things. It starts in the consumer and then it goes to the business. And just see what I have over here. So I think we're getting near 5 minutes. One of the things we talked, I was gonna talk about Microsoft Skype for Business. We talked about Skype for Consumer. That's what I was showing here. And I'm just going to give a 30 second here. So there is also Skype for Business. Just like there is OneDrive and the free Office Online for home, and there's Office 365 for the business, there is Skype for Consumer, which we were just showing, and Skype for Business, which is what is replacing phone systems around the world. So this more PC connected way of doing things is coming to the business world, and this kind of translation stuff is also coming there.
I just want to make a quick comment on this fascinating stuff here. There are a few places in the world, I've experienced at least one, where the country that I was in blocked access to Skype. If you're not familiar with using proxies, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Where I was, we could use Google Video Chat. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's quite as full featured as Skype, but it isn't an option. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In a place where you can't get access to Skype. I think that's changing. I think it's getting better. Maybe others can speak to that. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to say something?
Well, I would recommend getting a VPN for like $20 a year or something. You can get unlimited VPN access from somewhere like private internet access. And that will circumvent all the blocks in the country you're in, and it'll encrypt everything, like back to a U.S. endpoint, so you don't need to worry about that country intercepting anything you're doing. And so it's a good security solution to start with, especially if you're working in a closed country, but it will open up a lot of stuff for you as well that might be blocked. Like,
and if
different countries block different things.
So if security is a concern, you may want to go to more of the enterprise-grade communications for video calling, instant message, even voice calling. And that you can get using Microsoft Office 365. So that Skype for Business, what used to be called Microsoft Link, and it's more oriented around security, being secure, not having that web service in between getting in there. So for organizations that security is important, then go the business enterprise-ish route, you might want it more. All right, I wanted to give a little time for you to speak to each other on tools that I've just talked about some. I just picked them out of a hat, things that I thought were interesting, things that might be interesting to you. But I'd like to hear from you. What is there any tools that you like that you would want to maybe tell others that have ministries? And I wanted to give just a few minutes if you want to do that. Things that you've used, you thought they're good, you thought it'd be nice if maybe some of the other ministries would know about it. Okay, we have 5 minutes. So Raymond, you, if I would have asked, if I would have talked about the email thing, you might have talked about that. Anything that you have that you want to, you know, Hans would say, you know, take a look at Dropbox as an alternative OneDrive. They do kind of similar things.
I think you've converted me to OneDrive.
Oh, wow. There you go.
We did that.
Oh, wow. Okay, very good. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I've been working with this smattering of Apple products with Google's products, and of course in my home base I'm working with Office, and so I just feel very scattered, and I may get converted yet, but just for using Google Docs, like with my admin team meetings, you know, we put our agenda up, we all feed into one doc, we get into our meetings, it's just three of us, so we don't necessarily have a secretary, so as the others talking, we're taking notes real time. It's just a beautiful way to run, you know, a small admin team meeting when you can all be editing the same doc, the agenda's changing as you go, let's move this into the top.
It's very fluid. You don't have any IT guy that, we'll set this thing up for us. No, you just, it's fluid, it moves around. Yeah, so Google Docs and OneDrive with Microsoft Office Online. Both of those are meant, no admin, no IT. You just kind of figure it out and make it happen, and it's pretty simple. Pretty easy to do, easy to flow about, flow around.
Yeah. Just to add to what Lemon said, sorry, I just tacked on the end. It's brilliant for brainstorming. It is just awesome. Like if you're trying to come up with, collaboratively come up with a document or with anything, meetings, it's so good because you don't have to take turns around a keyboard. You all have your own keyboard and you're talking as you're doing it. And if people want to work on a little section, they can work on a little section. And for brainstorming, coming up, creating stuff together as a team, it's just awesome.
Yeah. You know, you brought that thing up, someone looking over your shoulder. It used to be you'd kind of get, just look over my shoulder, we'll kind of work. But now that you can work on a document together at the same time, it's almost easier, even if you sit close, just to sit at your desks and do it as you're, you know, and you can see each other working. But yeah, very, very, very good point.
That's one way that just cloud services in general, I would say, are, if you're not using them, they do actually make your life easier, not more complicated. You know, those collaborations, features especially, we use them all the time.
What do you use?
What do I use? I use Google Drive typically, but I do have OneDrive. So, yeah, just the thing of being able to both be working in the same spreadsheet at the same time, getting through something more quickly, working on the same presentation at the same time, throwing ideas back and forth. It's a whole lot easier than pulling your chair up next to each other and just throwing things up on the screen.
And one of the things I was talking about Skype for Business, and why is that replacing what used to be going into enterprises or businesses as phone systems? The very same reason. So when we communicate today, we're not communicating by voice alone. What we want to do is we're on the phone, and what you say is, hey, I'm looking at this. And then how it used to be is the other person would say, where's that invoice? Okay, let me figure that. And 3 minutes later, they're in the invoice. Now you can say with these new communication systems is, here, I'll show you my screen. And it's integrated right with your phone. It's all one seamless experience, hopefully, if everyone did their job right. But yeah. Or, you know, okay, so now I want to grab another fella and pull him in. Well, in phone systems, I used to be, how do I do this? I'm surely going to hang someone up. But now, using your PC, you just drag the user in, boom, now you're on a call, talking, showing the screen. And if you want to bump it up to video, you can do that as well. But yeah. All right. Were you going to, Lucas?
Just one quick thing, something that I've done, dealt with a little bit for a small organization that doesn't have much money, just a different aspect here of if you need to design stuff more than what you can do in Word and you want to move up to like a Photoshop type of application, there are some open source options that we've used before. GIMP being GIMP, it's an open source Photoshop alternative. That's quite powerful.
So that's
free. There's a lot of open source stuff out there. Obviously, the free cloud apps are changing the ballgame here a little bit.
Are there any in the design side, web design? I think Adobe is actually doing some web.
Adobe has been gifted by subscription.
Yeah, what? I'm not in the design world, but I think it's even. So what you're going to see with Microsoft and all the other vendors, 5 years ago, if I would have come and shown you tools, it would have been all applications. Did you notice this morning, everything except the Skype application was something web? And that does seem to be the way the world is going.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.